Welcome to the Catchcast. It's the UK's only weekly FM and DAB radio show about transport. I'm Mark Ovenden. Today's guest is one of the Isle of Wight's greatest social media exports. He's made almost 250 YouTube videos in just 3 years, which have been seen by 750,000 people. He's known online as the Wight Wanderer, and he's here with us today. Welcome to the Catchcast, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are going to cover your incredible array of YouTube videos as we go along, Jack. But I'm going to start by asking something I ask every guest on the show. When and how did you start getting interested in trains and transport, Jack?
That's a good question. When I was small, my dad used to take me out looking at old railway lines across the island. And it was mainly sort of bridges, and we walked through, I remember vividly, St. Lawrence Railway Tunnel. And back when it was a mushroom farm, being very spooked out by that. Yeah, I think that was probably the beginning. I also remember being about 4 years old and going to Haven Street with my family and seeing the trains arrive at the station. Well, seeing one train arrive at the station and then the other train arrived. And I think I was so ecstatic that my father spent about 15 minutes calming me down, had to give me an ice cream. That was really the beginning of it.
So you've grown up here on the island that used to have an incredible network of railways. When was the time that you thought to yourself, hang on a minute, this is a bit weird. We had all these great old railways and now they're not here.
I didn't always grow up on the island. I lived in France for a bit, for 8 years, and I came back when I was 19. I think it was really when I came back and I got interested in it again that I realised the political side of it, the reasons why they disappeared in the first place. It's only really been since I've begun this Wight Wanderer channel, which is only over the past 3 years. You know, it's amazing how much you can learn in 3 years. So yeah, not long really, not that long ago.
For people who don't know the island's railways, let's start right at the beginning, if you like, of when our first one was built. I believe it was the Cowes to Newport line, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. So Cowes to Newport line was proposed in 1859 and it was finished in 1862. And even though it wasn't that interesting engineering-wise, it was very important because it laid the foundation for the rest of the railway network on the island. When it first opened, it just had two stations, Cowes and Newport. Mill Hill, I believe, opened in 1871, I think it was. Someone, I'm sure, will correct me on that. But the interesting thing about Mill Hill is that the tunnel itself was opened in 1862 as the first railway tunnel to be built on the island. It was constructed using the cut and cover technique. Now, if you don't know what cut and cover is, you think a metropolitan line. They cut a cutting and then they build the arch and fill the earth in on top. Technically, Mill Hill Tunnel does predate the Metropolitan line in opening. So yes, it's definitely one of the first ones which was built using that method.
So that's quite an incredible achievement in a way, isn't it, for our Victorian friends to start on the island with a cut and cover tunnel. I mean, that's pretty good going. What about one of the next lines that came to open then? What was the next one along?
The next one was the Isle of Wight Railway. So the Isle of Wight Railway was originally called the Isle of Wight Eastern Section Railway. When it first opened in 1864, it ran between Ryde and Shanklin. It was only in 1866 that they managed to extend it to Ventnor and cut a tunnel through St. Boniface Down, which of course is still there today. But the main issues they actually had were to the north with Ryde. They originally wanted to build a terminus at Melville Street in Ryde. But Melville Street was quite an affluent place. And for 4 years, from the railway's proposal in 1860 through to its opening in 1864, they had a bit of a barmy with the local landowners. And the railway lost. And so they had to change their entire plan and terminate instead at Ryde St. John's. It wasn't until 16 years later that they managed to get through to the Esplanade and Pierhead. And that was because it wasn't down to them. It was down to two mainland railway companies called the London South West and London Brighton South Coast, because they weren't happy with the way their passengers were being treated once they got onto the island, because they had to take a horse and cart across town to get to the station. And they tunnelled under the Esplanade and reached the pier and then built a new pier alongside the tramway and promenade. And yeah, that's basically the story of the Isle of Wight Railway. The next one to be built was the Isle of Wight Newport Junction Railway, or at least the next one to be proposed. And that was proposed in 1868. That really began the tradition of lines on the island, which hardly made any money. Yeah, they finished that line. They opened it in 1875. And it was called the Isle of Wight Newport Junction Railway. But when they opened it, it didn't actually have a junction at Newport. It wasn't until 4 years later that they managed to bridge the gap. They initially terminated at a temporary station at Pan Lane, near Pan Mill. And then they built a viaduct across Coppins Bridge to link up with the other railways into Newport. And by that time, the Ryder-Newport Railway had been built, and that was finished in 1875. That took, in contrast, only 3 years to build, whereas the Isle of Wight Newport Junction Railway, because of their financial issues, took about 11 years.
But I was also going to take you back to that first video you made as well, up on Shanklin Down, wasn't it, in 2023? Is that where you were? You stood there and you pledged to us viewers that you would cover all of the closed lines, and I think you've done it, haven't you?
I'm not sure how many people have seen that video, but yeah, no, I think so. We did that about 3 years ago. We walked all the island's railways without trespassing, of course, because a lot of them, especially out west, like the Freshwater Yarmouth and Newport Railway, a lot of that alignment is now on private land, so you have to be careful. It was a great thing to do. We may do it again in the future, just because we know so much more now. Back when we started the channel, all we wanted to do was walk the lines, and then we were going to leave it at that. And it was only since I began with the White Wanderer stuff that I realised how little I actually know about it. So it's been a learning curve for me, really, the past 3 years. In regards to that video, the first one, it was after COVID, wasn't it? I can't remember what I said.
It looked a bit chilly.
Oh, yeah, no, it's always chilly. Whenever I'm out, it either gets very cold or it rains. I'm very good at doing a rain dance. So.
We're used to seeing you in a pack-a-mac. And now we're going to speak with you about your excellent YouTube channel in a bit. But you and Eleanor are also a bit interested in something else as well. Tell us about that.
Yes, sort of the mystic side of the island history, certainly. We also do a series called Dark Side of the Wight, which is mainly sort of that kind of things, dark characters and twisted tales and things like that. And we don't release as many episodes on that, but when we do, we try and put as much time into them as possible. Possibly the greatest story is the one of Dorothy O'Grady. She was a lady who was convicted of being a German spy. She lived in Sandown. And during the war, she used to wind up the troops and cross all the Allied boundaries. And she got caught drawing maps. But she survived. She evaded the death penalty, just about, and was released. And she lived right up until about 1980. And then afterwards, it turns out that a lot of evidence had been withheld from the trial, and she could have actually been a German spy all along. She'd been going all this time telling everyone that she'd fooled everybody into thinking she was a German spy. And then those documents mysteriously disappeared. They apparently were transferred from one archive to another, and in the process, they were lost. So no one knows whether she was actually a spy or not.
That is an amazing story, and we're going to find more of your great stories in a minute. Among your many videos, you've often covered the subject of whether or not the closed lines could potentially be reinstated. So let's have a look at some of these subjects, because you do some brilliant videos and you really explain it well. Let's have a think about the steam railway itself and how or when or if it would be possible to extend it into Newport.
Yes, I did a video on this recently because I get asked this question quite often. I initially did a video on the extension into Ryde. Funnily enough, it's a completely different reason to why they haven't extended to Newport. From Smallbrook to Ryde St John's, you have obviously the Island Line and the National Rail System. None of our steam trains or locomotives are able to run on the national rail network. They're not compatible, especially seeing as they are wooden-bodied carriages. So, first of all, you would need new trains. You could get a steam train into St. John's if the Island Line gave you one line into St. John's, but you haven't got a runaround loop for the locomotive. So you would have to use another line as a runaround loop, which pushes the Island Line over to platform 3. And then, of course, you've got the issue with the timetable. If you add an extra mile to ride St. John's to the Isle of Wight Steam Railway timetable, then it takes longer for the train to get around to do a full circuit. Then, of course, that throws the timetable into disarray. And there are other problems as well. I mean, it's not really that beneficial. Mm. It would be lovely to see Heritage Service coming into Ryde. I mean, as a Ryde boy myself, it would be wonderful for us in Ryde, for locals. But for the railway's main pull, which is tourists, all you are doing is moving the interchange slightly down the line, because they would still have to get an Island Line service from Pierhead to St. John's. So why not just get an Island Line service from Pierhead to Smallbrook? I mean, Newport, I could go on about the Newport one, but it'd probably take up quite a lot of time. But you've got a completely different issue there, where it's just been built on. So much of it is inaccessible.
And I think in your video you showed us how it might be just about possible to extend it from Wootton with a lot of civil engineering work and go along to Whippingham. But then what the heck do you do about getting anywhere closer to Newport? And I think at one point you even said, well, I mean, maybe you could actually take it across the main road, but then you'd be going through the festival site. So how do you get anywhere near Newport down that side?
If you were to extend towards Newport from Wootton, first of all, you would have to get through the road which goes up to Staplers. You'd have to traverse that. The bridge is still there beneath the road surface. And then you have to get across Park Road. The bridge is gone there, and you'd have to install a level crossing. Now, level crossings, especially on heritage lines, new level crossings, to construct a new one, there's an awful lot of red tape involved. And then beyond that, you are at Whippingham. Now, Whippingham's lovely, but it's in the middle of nowhere. And you are far better off just staying at Wootton, because you are very well connected at Wootton. You have a great bus route. And unless you're going to go all the way to Newport, which you can't do because it's too blockaded now, anywhere else beyond Wootton, it's no better for access. So you're spending an awful lot more money for no reason, just to be able to get further, you know, to expand the line. And expanding the railway is great, but if there's no reason to expand the railway, then but then again, the side of me that wants to see railways expanded would say, yeah, definitely, but practically it's not viable.
I've got this absolute fantasy that we'll win a load of money on one of the lottos or whatever, and then we'll take it over the Medina and make a stop at the back of St Mary's, because that would help people from Ryde and stuff to be able to get to St Mary's and the prison and that kind of stuff. But we need a lot of money for that.
Yeah, billions, I'd say, billions. I mean, you know, if you're going to spend that amount of money, you know, probably put it towards a solar tunnel, dare I say it.
I'm going to come on to that. You may have guessed. The other one, of course, that's begging for expansion is, would there be any way to somehow extend the Island Line down to Ventnor in any way, shape or form?
I think when it comes to extensions to the Islands railways, I think one to Ventnor is certainly the most plausible and the most important, because Ventnor, unlike anywhere else on the island, may soon be cut off from any kind of public transport system. People talk about extending to Newport, and you know, that's great, but Newport does have a frequent bus service. The traffic can be a bit of a nightmare at times, but it does have a frequent bus service, and the roads are not going to crumble away anytime soon. But Ventnor, it has a lot of problems, the road connections. And the only way really in and out of Ventnor that's not using the roads which are built on the clay surface is via the old tunnel, which is bored through chalk under St Boniface Down. And there's probably people, you know, a lot more qualified than me to talk about this, but I do feel very strongly about this. I think if there's any way we can make it happen.
Is it still sound, the tunnel?
I would have thought so. Southern Water are using it at the moment. They've got a pipe going through it. That's another issue, I guess, that you would have to address. But then again, we could reinstate it as a guided bus system. Guided bus systems do work very well. But I will be looking at this soon. And there are reasons why it might not work, it wouldn't work. Like, for example, they do tend to shy away nowadays from extending any railway which has a third rail electrical system, which the Island Line does. But if the Island Line was to convert to battery power, that would make an extension more feasible.
They've got some rolling stock, which is exactly the same, which we'll talk about in a minute, the old London Underground D stock. But they've converted that to battery for another line, haven't they?
They have. GWR, Great Western, did that. I think it's a three car, basically the same set. If we could do the same over here, that would be great. Mm.
So you raised the spectre of the solar tunnel that you've done a couple of videos about. And I guess probably the most obvious route that needs alleviation of some sort is the route between Cowes and Newport, the idea of that old line. Talk us through what some of your videos have cited as the issue about somehow connecting Cowes and Newport again by railway. It doesn't have to necessarily be even on the same route, but is there an argument for it in some way?
For a Solent tunnel under between Forwardy Power Station and... Yes, see, I did talk about this recently in the video, and the Solent tunnel is obviously quite a hot potato subject. There are ways you could do it, but it would just cost so much. Most people want a road tunnel now. I don't think that's viable. We already have horrific traffic issues over here. Even if they said they could control it, I don't think it's possible. And especially with the issues that we're now having as a country with HS2, it's costing so much more. And the same is likely to happen with the Solent tunnel. Even if it's a Solent rail link, I mean, the Solent rail link would be better, because what we need is, we need more people, more tourism, but we need less cars. And the only way you can do it really is via public transport. But then again, the problem is so much of our railway system has disappeared. If you were to build a tunnel using, say, the Forwardy Power Station branch, which is technically still there, tunnel under the Solent and then come up somewhere south of Cowes and join onto the old trackbed to Newport, you would only then be able to get as far into Newport as the industrial state. So really, you're only serving one town on the island, and you can't get through Newport via rail to access any of the other towns, like Ryde and Sandown, for example. So it is problematic. I think that possibly a Solent rail tunnel underneath Ryde, I think there was a proposal to build a Solent tunnel from Stokes Bay to Ryde, using a fort as a ventilation shaft. And because we do have the Island Line there, I think that would be the best place to put it. But is it going to happen? No. You know, we can umminar about it, but it would cost absolutely billions and no one's going to pay for it, you know.
It's such a shame. Now, there was one other odd railway on the island, and it was never really connected to the rest of the network that eventually opened, but it was another true first, wasn't it? It had a strange connection with a London architect, I believe.
Oh, yes, yeah. So the Hampstead Tramway was the very first railway to actually be built on the island, we think. It's the oldest which we know about. And it was constructed in about 1833 by the architect John Nash. And he owned East Cowes Castle, but he also owned the estate of Hampstead. In the 1830s, he decided he wanted to renovate the estate, and so he built a tramway. I actually traced it about a year and a half ago, and it went from a brickworks on the creek, just the other side of Newtown, up along one of the lanes, and then up to the estate of Hampstead. And then it looped all the way back down. It's about just over a mile, probably. It's enigmatic because it is the first railway technically on the island, but he passed away in 1835, and so it was only there for a couple of years. But none of the modern OS maps came into about the 1860s, and by that time it had gone. I did try my best to trace it. I might have been wrong.
What was it for, though, to move bricks around?
For the construction, it was moving material up to the estate of Hampstead.
And that would have all been horse-drawn by that stage, wouldn't
it? Yeah, all horse-drawn, no vehicles, no rail vehicles used in any kind of way. It's an interesting line, and I'd love to learn more about it. Unfortunately, there's just not much out there.
It's a shame, isn't it? Some of this stuff just gets lost in history, and no matter what you do, you can't stand up the fact that you knew something was there, and you just really want to prove it. And you think, yeah, I know there must be a photograph or a sketch somewhere.
It's one thing I do hold on to. I guarantee that there are photos out there somewhere, probably in someone's loft, say a station which hasn't been photographed. There was one at Dodna Lane on the Cowes and Newport Railway. It was recorded as being there in 1898, but we don't know when it was built or when it was axed. And there are no photographs of it. It was just a record to say it was there at that date. So technically, Cowes and Newport Railway had an extra station, but we know nothing about it. But somewhere in someone's attic, there might be a photograph of it.
It's the great joy of being a historian. You're always trying to uncover something that no one else has seen for years and years. There isn't really a photograph, or particularly much, about the little ashy quarry line either, is there really?
No, not photograph. I mean, there's maps. It does appear on maps as a tramway, actually, although it did have a junction with the Ryde and Newport Railway at Ashy. What is unknown, really, is if it actually had an extra station, because some say that there was an extra platform by the grandstand, because of course you had the Ashy race course up there, and the tramway itself leading up to the quarry, which it was built to serve, passed by the grandstand. Some people say there was a platform there and there was another halt in Ashy, but others say no, that's just where they parked the carriages. So we just don't know.
It's just one of the fascinating things about being an historian. Now, you've made quite a huge success out of this YouTube channel, and you've really helped educate a lot of viewers about our lovely past of the Islands Railways. Can you tell us what was the most watched episode?
The most watched episode would be the Solent Tunnel, the first Solent Tunnel episode. I think it's about 33,000 views, which is a lot for me. You are quite a niche channel, but most of the views were for a different reason. You know, as soon as you put Fixed Link or Solent Tunnel on a video, people watch it because they want to see people's opinion on whether we should have a Fixed Link, as really it was about the history of the Fixed Link. But yeah, that was probably the most viewed one. I've now got a members club because I don't have to rely on YouTube algorithms and things like that. Moving things on to a member club, it works a lot better because you're paying for the videos in advance. In the future, I think I'm going to rely less on views and just make videos that I want to make. I won't talk about the Solent Tunnel again, I don't think.
Curses that Mark asking me about the Solent Tunnel. And what about ones that are hard to make? I've seen you out in your cagoule and getting rained upon and things, but what are some of the more difficult ones to make?
The hardest video I ever made, beginning of last year, I went out to Fort Victoria. Fort Victoria actually had a military tramway, part of it's still there, which served the barracks and took the shells from the barracks to the pier and vice versa. I went out there and it was freezing, absolutely freezing, and I forgot my coat. I had a fleece on and I had about 13 pieces to camera to do. By about 3 pieces to camera in, I couldn't feel my fingers anymore, and I must have spent about 4.5-5 hours in the freezing cold. And it's, you know, so difficult, especially when you can't speak properly because, you know, your lips are frozen.
It's hanging in the air.
Yeah, that was definitely the hardest video I did, and but it was worth it. You have ups and downs, you know. Some videos I do and they're very easy to make, but that's just the way it is, you know.
It's weird, isn't it? We touched on this a little bit before, and that is the rolling stock that runs between Ryde and Shanklin on the Island Line. For anyone who's listening who doesn't know, just outline to us why it's so special, why we have this particular rolling stock here.
Yeah, the London Transport tube stock. It's incredibly important because it carries on the tradition, really, of hand-me-down trains. On the islands, we've always had hand-me-down trains, and that goes all the way back to the beginning of the railways, really. The only new trains we've ever had was on the Isle of Wight Railway. Some of the carriages were made new, and the locomotives. Cowes and Newport Railway also had some new carriages, but then after that, it was all second-hand. And I think it's great that the Island Line has now become a haven for old London tube stock. Unfortunately, I'm not old enough to remember when the standard stock was in service. I was born in 1990, and I think standard stock stopped operation in about 1991, and the last 3-car set was scrapped in 94. It's sad because that was earmarked for preservation. Of course, I remember the Art Deco ones. Yeah, everyone remembers those.
38 stock, they were gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful things, apart from when they were in the dinosaur livery. There's some people who do like that. But now, of course, we have the 484s. You know, they're nice. They're a bit clinical for my liking.
Now, I know that you're not just content with making videos about railways, but you also have a couple of little miniature ones, and you make videos about them too, don't you? Tell us about your model railways you've got.
I do have a model railway in my spare room. I do a series on the members club called My Model Railway Project, and it's basically me in my spare room building model railways and servicing locomotives and stuff, learning as I go along. But yeah, I do love model trains. I used to collect them when I was a child, and I stupidly sold them all when I was about 13 in France for about £20. Actually, €20, so that's even worse, isn't it? It's only recently that I've started collecting them again. I have been able to retrieve some of the models that I did have. It's very therapeutic. They do say that sometimes with model railways, it's not so much running them, it's more building them and fixing them. Once it's all done, you get bored and you rip it all up again. It's therapy. It keeps the beast from the door, so to speak.
And is it a model railway of the Island Line, or is it a completely fictional place?
No, it is fictional, but it is based on a railway which was meant to be built. So it's based on the Totland branch, which was a railway in the original plans of the Freshwater Yarmouth and Newport Railway. Obviously, they'd never built a line to Totland Bay, but it's my depiction of it. So it's in between the two, really. It's my depiction, but it could have happened, you know, in the 1880s.
So what's next, the line to Chail?
That's a good point, actually. One of my friends, Nathan Bowers, who watches the channel, he actually built a rendition or a depiction of Chail Station and what it may have looked like in miniature. I think he's getting rid of it, actually. I think he's doing another layout. But yeah, maybe I should do that.
We have reached the end of our line.
Oh, okay. End of the line.
It's a real big thank you to Jack for sharing his time to talk to us today. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
You can find Jack's YouTube channel by searching for White Wanderer. Next week's Catchcast is not to be missed. We'll be chatting more art, transport, communications history all over again.